Name in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. How great thy name.
Thank you.
Let's turn to the back of our hymn book, the Lord's Day 3. You find that on page 10. Page 10 in the back of your hymn book, and then we're going to open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians 15. Lord's Day 3. Lord's Day 2 ended by saying that we have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. And then Lord's Day 3 asks the question, did God create man so wicked and perverse? No, God created man good and in his own image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that he might truly know God, his creator, love him with all his heart, and live with him in eternal happiness for his praise and glory. Then where does man's corrupt nature come from? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on. But are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God, regenerated by the Spirit of God. Let's turn now to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to begin reading at verse 35. And our text is 1 Corinthians 15, 49. Verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies, unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Here's our text, the 49th verse. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, man is just another animal. How often have you heard that sentiment expressed? Man is just another animal. I recently heard someone say that on the radio. He said it as though it was a fact. Planet Earth has a variety of interesting animals. Horses, llamas, sheep, porcupines, giraffes, skunks, donkeys, apes, and men. Congregation, if we believe that man is just another animal, it has profound implications for our conduct toward others. If we believe that humans are merely a higher form of animal, we will soon depreciate the value of human life. What could be wrong with abortion if there is nothing unique about our status before God? What could be wrong with killing elderly people who are seriously ill? After all, we shoot cows or horses who have incurable diseases. What could be wrong with killing mentally retarded children? Don't rabbits often push the weak and deformed out of the nest so that they die? Joseph Stalin believed that human beings were merely animals with more intelligence than the lower forms of organic life. Consequently, he was able to slaughter people like cattle when they refused to bow to his iron will. He deliberately engineered a program of starvation for the subjugated inhabitants of the Ukraine. Millions starved. What's the big deal? I mean, don't we kill millions of chickens? Don't we kill millions of flies when they are an inconvenience? When I was a boy, my father had one of those mosquito zappers. We had a lot of trees in our backyard and a marshy area that was excellent breeding ground for mosquitoes. I remember many evenings in the summertime lying in bed at night, listening to the constant, steady, unceasing zap, 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 zap. Millions and millions of mosquitoes fell to the ground, never to bother us again. If we human beings are merely animals, if we are merely a higher form of animal, then what can we really say about Adolf Hitler's determination to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth? What can we say about 6 million Jews taken from their homes, herded like cattle into boxcars, and sent to extermination camps like Auschwitz? What can we say about women who were driven to factories and fields to work as slave laborers, while the rest were crowded into huge gas chambers? In Hitler's mind, he was only destroying the unfit. 6 million mosquitoes, 6 million Jews, what's the difference? Does it really matter? Why treat a man or a woman with any more dignity and respect than a fly, a horse, or a snake? Brothers and sisters, the Bible declares that we are not just one of many animals on planet Earth. Of all the creatures that God made, only one is said to be made in the image of God. Llamas, donkeys, cats, dogs, lions, and giraffes are not made in the image of God. Only man is said to be made in His image. Francis Schaeffer rightly said, "If man is not made in the image of God, then nothing stands in the way of inhumanity. Human life is cheapened." If man is not made in the image of God, then nothing stands in the way of inhumanity. Human life is cheapened. An evolutionary worldview reduces us to atoms and molecules, leaving us free to treat each other in any way we choose in order to get what we want. From abortion on demand to euthanasia. The Bible tells us exactly the opposite and tells us that human life is sacred because it is sanctified by God, and that whatever their present weakness, inability, or defects, we should treat others on the basis that they have been made in the image of God. This afternoon from Lord's Day 3 in 1 Corinthians 15:49, we want to consider how man was created and will be recreated in the image of God. Point number one, the formation of man, a flawless image. The formation of man, a flawless image. Point number two, the deformation of man, a distorted image. The deformation of man, a distorted image. Point number three, the reformation of man, a restored image. The reformation of man, a restored image. Look with me for a moment, please, to 1 Corinthians 15:49. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Who is the man of dust, boys and girls? The man of dust is Adam. Genesis 2 says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The first man, Adam, and his wife, Eve, were created in God's own image. The image of God is that part of man that makes him like God and different from the animals. To be made in the image of God means that Adam and Eve were like God and represented God. When God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness," he determined to make a creature similar to himself. Though God is the creator and man is the creature, and though God transcends man in being, power, and glory, nevertheless, there is a sense in which Adam and Eve were like God. Incidentally, image and likeness in Genesis 1:26 mean the same thing. The two phrases are parallel expressions. The second repeats the first using typical Hebrew parallelism. The repetition is for the sake of emphasis. It is used to underscore the great importance of this truth that man was created in the image of God. When the Bible says that Adam was made in God's image, it does not mean that he actually looked like God. It does not mean that Adam bore a physical resemblance to his maker. Scripture says that God is spirit, and a spirit does not have flesh and bones. No, to be made in the image of God means that Adam was given the unique capacity to reflect God's character. He reflected what we call the communicable attributes of God, such as holiness, wisdom, goodness, truth, love, and so on. Being made in the image of God also includes man's ability to rule the earth and to have dominion over it. Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Man was created to reflect God's character by righteously ruling over the universe. By ruling the earth and having dominion over it, man was to image God's rule over creation. Adam was created with the ability to rule wisely, justly, kindly, and lovingly. Adam had the ability to image to all the world what God was like. Adam was not created to be equal to the orangutans. Psalm 8 says, "You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea." Brothers and sisters, Adam was created to be master of creation, master under God, ruling the earth as God's vice regent, reflecting the character of God's righteous rule. Being made in the image of God also means that Adam had the ability to reason, to think. He was equipped with a mind, a heart, and a will. And because of these God-like virtues, Adam could enjoy wonderful fellowship with God and with the partner God gave him, his wife. They could speak together, reason together, communicate together in a way that the animals could not do. Being made in God's image meant that Adam could have a fulfilling relationship with God and man. The Lord gave Adam a tongue which had the ability to form words and speak meaningful language so as to have meaningful communication. And congregation, there were no defects in Adam. Man did not come off the assembly line wrongly wired, as sometimes happens in our world. God's workmanship was perfect. The last verse of Genesis 1 says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." There were no flaws in God's handiwork whatsoever. Adam and Eve were perfect. They were able to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they were able to love their neighbor as themselves. There were no marriage problems. They were able to live in perfect happiness for God's praise and God's glory. Perfect communion, perfect harmony, perfect worship, perfect rule over creation, perfect love. They perfectly reflected the character of God. Lord's Day 3 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, did God create men wicked and perverse? By no means, says the older version of the Catechism. By no means, but God created man good and after his own image, that is in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God, his creator, heartily love him and live with him in eternal blessedness to praise and glorify him. So that's point number one, a flawless image. Secondly, the Bible teaches that something dreadful took place. Something that radically changed the course of history. Adam disobeyed the voice of God. He ate the forbidden fruit. The moment he sinned, the image of God was severely distorted. Although Adam was still in God's image, his ability to reflect God's character was severely damaged. Moreover, when Adam fell, the human race fell with him. When he rebelled, all his descendants were affected. Our text says, we have been born in the image of the man of dust. When Adam rebelled, all his descendants were affected, so that we are all conceived and born in sin. We inherit the shattered image of Adam. Our catechism correctly says that we are inclined to all evil. Yet, brothers and sisters, even now, traces of our original condition can be seen in the human race. Although we certainly do not resemble God as we once did, the human race is still different from the animals. Although we have fallen terribly, we are still set apart from every creature in the physical universe. We don't reflect God's holiness as we should. Our intellect is corrupted. Our moral purity has been lost. Our speech no longer glorifies God as it once did. Our relationships are often characterized by selfishness rather than love. Yet, in spite of all that, man is still in the image of God. Fallen man has been compared to the ancient city of Athens, which now lies in ruins. The city is fallen, and yet those ruins still have a certain grandeur that reminds us of the city's former beauty and glory. Consider, for example, how men still have a basic sense of right and wrong, which sets us apart from the animals. Animals have very little, if any, sense of morality and justice. When have you heard of a group of bears arresting another bear and putting him on trial for murder? When have you heard of wolves imprisoning another wolf because of theft or abuse? When men act righteously, according to God's moral standards, punishing evildoers and protecting the helpless, we are reflecting our likeness to God. Consider also how men have the ability to reason and to think rationally and logically. Our ability to do so sets us apart from the animals. Men write large volumes on history, philosophy, ethics, theology, warfare, agriculture, art, music, architecture, logic, medicine. When have you seen a group of chimpanzees sitting around the table discussing ethical problems? Or a group of chimpanzees sitting around the table discussing philosophical concepts? When have you seen them sitting around the table discussing the second law of thermodynamics? When have you seen a cow writing or reading a book on Holstein health and fitness? When men write books and discuss ethical issues and philosophical concepts, we are reflecting something of the character of God, who is all-knowing and all-wise. Or consider how we have the ability to plan and build and develop technical skills. In this respect, we are far different from the animals. A beaver's dam may be an amazing accomplishment. I've always enjoyed watching beavers, and I find that a beaver's dam is an amazing accomplishment. But it's exactly the same design that was used by his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. A beaver dam today is the same kind of dam that was built 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. When was the last time you saw a group of beavers using the dam to generate electricity to light up their lodge? And then look at a bird's nest. A bird's nest is wonderfully made. But it's exactly the same nest that has been made for generations. There's no front porch added for design. There's no pitch roof with a cathedral ceiling and skylights. There's no second floor. There's no blueprints prior to building. There's no thought given to the pros and cons of asphalt shingles versus cedar shingles. There's no consideration given to the merits of increasing the R value of the nest or changing the color or the window design or the roof vents. There's no thought given to interior decorating. There are no family portraits or works of art hanging on the walls. It's exactly the same nest that has been built for 1,000 years. Moreover, birds are incredible creatures of flight. They can travel hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles. But have birds ever considered space exploration? Have you ever developed a space shuttle to land on the moon? And then, brothers and sisters, consider the use of language that sets us apart from the animals. You can tell your 6-year-old son to go to the garage and get the blue baseball bat that's hanging on the wall behind the door. Your 6-year-old son is able to do what you've asked of him because he knows the meaning of go, garage, get, blue, bat, wall, behind, and door. Even if he has never seen the bat before, he is able to follow the instructions given with a few brief words. No dog, kangaroo, or monkey could perform such a simple task unless they had been trained through repetition and rewards. Most 6-year-olds could perform many such tasks, and we think nothing of it, right? But there has never been an animal yet who could respond so quickly and easily to a few spoken words. Many 8-year-olds could write a letter to their grandparents describing some of the highlights of the family's vacation. They could write a letter to their friend describing some of the events of that week. But have you ever heard of an elephant writing a letter to his grandparents or to his friend? Has your family's pet ever written a note to his girlfriend? Man is just another kind of animal. Really? Really? What about the areas of art, music, literature, science, and technological inventiveness? Does your dog play the cello? The piano, harmonica, flute, guitar? Does he warm up his food in the microwave and add salt and pepper and barbecue sauce or ketchup before eating it? Does your dog plant a garden? Does he fix the broken screen door? Send him over to our place. Does he scrub the dirty spots from the carpet? Does he throw a birthday party for his puppies? Does he look in the mirror to comb his hair before the guests arrive? Congregation, nowhere in the universe will you find more intelligent, more God-like creatures than man. One theologian made this comment, I quote, "It would be good for us to reflect on our likeness to God more often. It will probably amaze us to realize that when the creator of the universe wanted to create something in his image, something more like himself than all the rest of creation, he made us." He made us. This realization will give us a profound sense of dignity and significance as we reflect on the excellence of all the rest of God's creation. The starry universe, the abundant earth, the world of plants and animals, and the angelic kingdoms are remarkable, even magnificent. But we are more like our Creator than any of these things. We are the culmination of God's infinitely wise and skillful work of creation. Even though sin has greatly marred that likeness, we nonetheless still reflect much of it. Brothers and sisters, even though our nature has become corrupt through the fall and disobedience of our first parents, and even though the Bible teaches the total depravity of mankind, that all people have inherited Adam's sinful nature, and that there is not one part of our being that is not tainted by evil, and even though the Bible declares that our natural propensity is neither toward God nor toward the good of our neighbor, yet we see glimpses of the character of God in the human race. Only man, out of all of creation, is said to be made in the image of God. And congregation, for those who are regenerated by the Spirit of God, there is a progressive recovering of God's image. There is a progressive recovering of God's image. In this life, we will never be what Adam was in the garden prior to his rebellion. But for those who are redeemed through faith in the crucified Christ, we can begin to grow in the likeness of God. In Colossians 3:10, Paul said that as Christians, we have a new nature that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. If the Spirit of God has made you a new creature, then you will begin to image your Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who are born again begin to more clearly reflect the virtues of God. Regeneration begins the process of restoring God's image in our lives. Through the fall of Adam, it became impossible for sinners to rightly display God's character. But through the faithfulness of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we can once again begin to reflect His holiness. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we become more like God in our thinking. As we grow in our Christian maturity, we grow in greater likeness to God in our lives and in our character. And as we grow, we begin to long for the day when our imperfect, distorted image will be completely restored. Scripture not only teaches the formation of man and the deformation of man, but also the reformation of man, a restored image. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:49 once again. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Boys and girls, who is the heavenly man? Who is the heavenly man? The heavenly man is Christ. The day is coming when we will exchange Adam's image for Christ's. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Brothers and sisters, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we learn something very important about our Lord Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews said this, speaking of Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and, what? The express image of His person. The express image of His person. The Apostle Paul made the same point in Colossians 1:15, where he said that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Do you remember when Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father," John 14:8? You remember that occasion? How did Jesus respond? "He who has seen me has seen the Father." We learn from these verses that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, imaged the Father. He revealed what the invisible God is like. He wonderfully reflected God's character. In Jesus Christ, men could see God's wisdom, God's power, God's love, God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's authority, God's truth, God's compassion. Jesus was the express image of God. When the Apostle Paul declared that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, he was saying that in Jesus Christ, the invisible God is made visible to us. The nature, the character, and the attributes of God were perfectly revealed in Christ, so that in him, the invisible had become visible. In his humanity, Jesus Christ displayed the glory of the invisible God. He was the perfect, absolutely accurate image. He was the perfect representation of God's being. In Jesus Christ, we see human likeness to God as it was intended to be. You hear that? In Jesus Christ, we see human likeness to God as it was intended to be. The full measure of our creation in the image of God is not seen in the life of Adam, who broke God's covenant, nor is it seen in our lives now, for we have been born in the image of the fallen Adam. But God's purpose in creating man in his image was fully realized in the person of Jesus Christ. He himself is the image of God. And congregation, what a blessing and a privilege it is to know that when our Lord Jesus returns, we will be like him. Listen to the words of Romans 8:29. These are mind-boggling words. Listen. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Let me read that again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3:2, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Brothers and sisters, we shall be like him. Not as he was during his earthly ministry, as wonderful as that would be. No, we shall be like him as he revealed himself during his post-resurrection appearances. Study the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus and you will get a glimpse of what you will be like at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes again, we will be wonderfully transformed. And our condition will be even greater than that of Adam in the garden. Prior to the fall, Adam was righteous and holy, but he was mutably righteous and holy. He was mutably righteous and holy. He had the ability to sin and the ability not to sin. When Jesus comes again, all believers will be made immutably righteous and holy. We will be unable to sin. When Jesus returns, all Christians will rise from the grave. The body that is sown in corruption and dishonor will be raised in incorruption and glory. The body that is sown in weakness will be raised in power. And as our text says, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. Just as we have been like Adam, subject to sin and death, we shall also be like the Lord Jesus, holy, pure, morally undefiled, and never subject to death again. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. I can't really tell you what it's going to be like when we will be conformed to the image of Christ. There are some things that we know from the Word of God. We know that our bodies will be raised from the grave into bodies that are imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. We also know that the righteous will shine forth as the sun, Matthew 13:43. The redeemed will radiate like the sun. We will share the blazing and magnificent glory of our Savior. Philippians 3:21 says he will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. The Bible reveals a certain amount of information concerning our future state, but much of it is far beyond our comprehension. The one thing that is certain and beautiful and exciting is that at the final resurrection, our Creator's purpose will be realized when we are conformed to the man who is himself the image of God. If you are a Christian, then you will beautifully, gloriously, marvelously reflect his image. You will be restored to the fullness of the image of God. Although we only have a glimpse of what it will be like, it is enough to know that we shall be like him. But man is just another animal. Really? Really? I don't read anywhere in the Bible that llamas will shine forth as the sun. I don't read that apes will shine forth as the sun. Holsteins, kangaroos, wolves, the Bible does not say that they will be conformed to the image of his son. That is only said of man. And more specifically, it is said of those who are redeemed in Jesus Christ and regenerated by the Spirit of God. Only those who repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ will be reformed. Only believers will experience the never-ending privilege of a restored image. Dear friends, let me remind you this afternoon that there are two representative heads for the human race. There are two, and only two, representatives of the human race. These two representative heads are Adam and Christ. Adam broke the covenant so that the image was marred and distorted. Christ kept the covenant so that the image of God in human beings will be restored. The vital question that each one of you must answer is this. Are you connected to the first Adam or the last Adam? Is the first Adam your representative head or is the last Adam your representative head? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Only those who are in Christ can say with confidence and even eager anticipation, I know that when he is revealed, I shall be like him. I will bear the image of my Savior, and I will beautifully reflect the character of God for his praise and honor forever. Are you trusting Christ? If you are, you will shine forth as the sun. And our great and awesome God will be glorified through the complete restoration of his image. What a blessed future for the people of God. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, that perfect image, the one who perfectly displayed and represented your character. We thank you for all that the second Adam has done so that we may be restored. That we who have been so marred by sin may be beautifully and completely restored at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward, O God, to once again that we may once again be able to reflect and mirror your image in an even greater way than Adam could do prior to the fall. As Lord God, we know that you will bring us into that state in which we will never again be able to sin. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word so that we don't have to be deceived by the voices around us. So many have believed the lie of evolution. So many have believed the lie that man is just another animal. And we see the consequences of that in our society. We see how devastating it is. Oh, Lord, we pray that as your people, we would always remember these precious truths. That we would also treat our fellow man with dignity and respect as those who bear your image. That even though our fellow man may be fallen, even though our fellow man may be in sin, still we see something even through them of your character, of who you are. Something of your glory, even through fallen sinners. So help us, Lord, to see that. Help us to remember just how great you are. And then, Lord, as your people, we thank you that we can look forward to that blessed hope. To know that when you are revealed, Lord Jesus, we shall be like you. We will bear your image. We will perfectly reflect your character. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would hasten the day. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We love you. And we worship you. Amen. Let us sing the song that you find printed on the back of your bulletin. God, all nature sings thy glory, and thy works proclaim thy might. Ordered vastness in the heavens, ordered course of day and night. Beauty in the changing seasons, beauty in the storming sea. All the changing moods of nature praise the changeless Trinity. Clearer still, we see thy hand in man whom thou hast made for thee. Ruler of creation's glory, image of thy majesty. Music, art, the fruitful garden, all the labor of his days are the calling of his maker to the harvest feast of praise. Let's stand to sing these four verses.
Thank you. We now have opportunity to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom, the work of eternal life mission. Please turn to the back of your hymn book to page 4, and we will confess our faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed. So let's rise at this time to confess our faith. Congregation, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's sing as our doxology 431, verses 2 and 9, using the tune of 183. So 431, 2 and 9. Receive the blessing of your God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.